For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Scott Morgan. Even people who know bats better than everyone else don't know everything about tricolor bats, but they do know they're in trouble.
I think 2012, actually, there were about 400 tricolor bats in there. Last time we surveyed, there were 13 bats left in 2017. So it's a huge decline from this disease.
Jennifer Kendall is the state DNR's lead bat biologist. And to clarify what she just said, in there is in the old railroad tunnel cave in Walhalla that half a dozen of us are about to go into and count hibernating tricolor bats. And this disease is white nose syndrome, a fungus that clings to hibernating bats and drains them of their energy before they're ready to wake up in early spring. There were 401 bats in the 2012 survey of this cave, to be exact, a number up from 123 just 4 years earlier, when an imposing gate like a 19th century prison cell went up at the mouth of this cave to keep people from disturbing the bats inside. And it worked. Numbers rose fast. And then white nose syndrome dropped the population of this cave to 119 bats just 2 years after its peak. In 2014, Kendall found the fungus on 28 of them. So, we're all here for a 3-year survey to see how the bat population is doing in the face of a killer with no cure. Before we go in, though, it's good to know why you and I should care about what we find, or don't, in that cave.
Bats are very important for the environment, the amount of bugs that they eat, and for agriculture.
Ray Long is a volunteer and the unofficial but generally recognized president of the South Carolina Bat Working Group. It's a conservation group that keeps stats on white nose syndrome and bat counts around the state. He took a day off from work to be here for the first of what will end up to be 2 tries to get into this tunnel. The first will fail without us being able to get past that big prison-like gate, and Long won't be back for the second.
Just the importance for the bats for the environment and how they're being reduced so much in the population was just a huge motivator for me.
Just outside the tunnel, we all suit up to go inside. We have to don protective zip-up suits, 2 each, in fact, and surgical gloves duct-taped around our wrists. White nose syndrome doesn't affect humans, but we can easily carry it with us when we leave and spread it to bat populations far away from where we picked it up, which is why all of us will throw our suits and gloves in sealed plastic bags after we come back out. We'll spray and wipe everything we brought in with us and boil and double wash our clothes when we get home. On the other side of the gate, the tunnel is echoey, dark, and deep. A long pool of fresh water would be undisturbed if not for the chorus of drops falling from the stone ceiling every few seconds. We have one boat, an inflated 2-person canoe, that will take us to the end of the tunnel where a long-ago cave-in brings the waterway to an abrupt end. Kendall and I are the first to go. It's about 50 yards long, and we're looking for small tufts of fuzz about the size of an infant's fist, clinging to rock almost the same color. It makes them hard to spot. At the far end, Kendall leaves the boat, her once snow-white coveralls now caked in umber-colored mud from crawling around in here. She runs her flashlight and headlamp around the rock that meets the earth where the cave-in occurred. We're looking for at least 13 bats. But we're not finding 13 bats. By the time we make it back to where we cast off from, Kendall and I have found 3.
Very depressing. Yeah.
The 2 other crews of 2, all employees of the Department of Natural Resources, make the same trip, quietly, so as not to disturb the bats. Rousing them by being too loud has the same effect as white nose syndrome. It causes the bats to wake up too soon and use up their energy stores. And then they starve to death because their food sources, mainly flying insects, are not around yet. On the positive side, none of the bats we did find had signs of the fungus. But
there wasn't any fungus on the 13 last time, either. So I don't know why there wouldn't be at least 13.
Would they have gone somewhere else?
Yes, entirely possible. Maybe they're going to the other nearby middle tunnel, or nearby main tunnel. But yeah, it's hard to say what they're doing.
Also on the somewhat positive side, by the time all the expeditions in this cave are complete, we collectively spot 7 bats. but that's still half of what it was 3 years ago when the numbers were already past alarming. And despite Kendall's hope that maybe these small bats have just found other digs, she's more sure about what's taking them out in high number.
Are other factors that could be at play with annual variation, such as humidity and temperature? But from 400 is a major problem, obviously. Most likely from white-nose syndrome.
Generally, Kendall says other surveyors have also seen 90% drops in various bat populations around South Carolina since white-nose syndrome showed up early last decade. If there is positive news to report about that, it's that populations have seemed to stabilize, even if they're holding steady at alarming lows. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Scott Morgan. Learn more about tricolor bats and the effort to save them at southcarolinapublicradio.org.